I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Burt Show.
Today is Friday.
Friday.
What time?
Morning.
A great way to end your week.
Well, the best way to start.
This weekend.
Start this weekend.
Bam! Coffee!
Coffee wakes you up in the morning.
I think you've had enough coffee.
A cup of coffee gets the world off to work in the morning.
Let's get through today.
And then we can start the party.
The weekend starts here.
It's showtime.
How's everybody doing this morning? Gout check. How's gout check?
How you doing today, man?
It's all right.
Yeah, it's slow, man.
It gets better. It's a slow grind. It gets worse before it gets better.
Dang it.
It fades in, and then you hit that point of like, okay, this is the highest pressure point, and then it fades out.
It must be just so frustrating.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
Are you worried to go see family next week? Because I don't know if you guys like are a big drinking family, and I know that can kind of flare up your gout.
Usually, but my dad won't be in town the entire time, so I might be safe.
Okay, a couple days off.
The guiltiest offender is not going to be there.
Exactly.
Okay, how about you, Abby? How you doing?
For me, I'm kind of dragging myself into the weekend. I was all excited yesterday because I've been on this new phone journey, and I have to send back the one I was loading yesterday.
Oh, no. This thing, what a soap opera, man.
It's becoming, it's just so simple. I, just want a new phone, and without boring you to tears, I spent, hours in the AT&T store. Finally, I was able to order a new phone, but whoever ordered my phone put the wrong address on the package, so it didn't get sent to me. So when I went to AT&T, I was like, hey, we need to do something about this. It wasn't sent to me, so they marked it as stolen. And then long story short, they made me go back and forth, get all these things from my apartment, because it's like the DMV. You need, your ID, and then you need, a physical card. You can't use Apple Pay to now pay for the phone that you already paid for. You have to pay for it twice, because we had to return the other one.
I feel like they're working off of a checklist of how to screw a customer, and they throw these things at you, right? And when you pass one, you get to the next. It's like a video game. You get to the next level, and then finally they get you. You don't have one piece of evidence or one piece of information. Sorry, not today.
And every time you leave the AT&T store, you get bumped to the back of the line. So it's just this frustrating experience. I'm just get me a new phone. So anyway, I leave in a tizzy on Monday because I'm I don't have time for this. I've got things to do today. And so finally, my leasing office finds the phone, and I'm like, oh my God.
Hey, what's the chances?
Because it didn't have the right address on it. I don't know how it got to me. So they find the phone. I'm so excited. I load all of the things onto my phone. I couldn't transfer anything because I don't have Wi-Fi at my apartment. It's another AT&T problem. So I had to do it here yesterday. I was so excited. All I have to do is transfer my data. And then my phone won't transfer my data from one phone to the other. So after the show yesterday, I go to the AT&T store again. And because they marked my phone as stolen, I can't use that phone now.
Oh, come on.
So now I have to go back to the AT&T store, send that phone back with all of my data on it, and I have to order a new phone.
Yeah, I constantly have to remind myself on days like that. First of all, my internal statistic is generally, when you're doing business, it only goes well about 60% of the time. Somebody messes something up along the way about 40% of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to constantly remind myself, all right, give yourself a little perspective here. It's a phone. It's a hassle. I'm going to be fine. In the overall scheme of things, it's a small thing. But also I'm acknowledging it's really irritating.
It's so irritating. And admittedly, there's some emotions I handle really well. Like there are some things that I can just like cruise through. Frustration is one of those emotions that I just do not process well. And so it really is, even though it's just a phone, it is like top 10 angering emotions for me. So anyway.
At this point, they should give you a discount because you work there. You
I know.
Give her a collared shirt.
Give me the polo. I'm in.
How hard can it be to greet people when they come in? If you're going to stand there, just put a shirt on and get paid for it.
Exactly.
They ain't doing their job anyway.
No.
I had a pretty regular day today, day yesterday. What did I have? It's very rare the times that Hayden and I can go to a movie together and see a movie that we both might enjoy. And that's his thing. You know, that's his jam. It's like pop culture and movies. And I love going with my son, who is so brilliant when it comes to looking at a movie. And then after we get out of it, he picks it apart for me. He like picks the characters apart. This is what he's going to end up doing for a living, something in performing arts. So he sees movies way different than I do. I just go in there for an hour and a half, 2 hours of his escape, and then I take off. The last example of this was Sinners, right? We went to go see Sinners, and I thought it was a pretty good movie. Yeah. It was very entertaining, hour and a half, two. But then in the car ride home, he's giving me the history lesson on what the whole thing was all about and the symbolism of some of the characters and everything like that. And I shared it with Mo, what Hayden said, and he's like, well, that kid gets it.
Yeah, I could tell he did his research. He was spot on. And the thing about Sinners, it's a good movie, but if you know the symbolism, it's an excellent movie. So, I mean, for him to have spotted it like he did, and I'm sure you saw it as a whole different movie than you did the first time.
I totally did. So last night, I'm like, I haven't spent any time with him this week, and he's going on vacation with his mom next week. So what can we do, even though I'm limited on time because of the show? So I'm like, how about a movie? There's got to be something. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. This new Formula One movie is out.
Oh, I want to see that.
Sports. And a movie at the same time.
How was it? It looks amazing.
It's an entertaining hour and a half or 2 hours is exactly what I was looking for. I was more nervous about him because he hates everything sports. But I gave him a little Jedi mind trick in the beginning. And I said, don't think about this as a sports movie. Think about this as art, and sports just happens to be at the center of it. So I think he did go in there and he gave it a try, and I was expecting him to come out of there and go kind of superficial. Mm. You know, the plot line is predictable. He loved it.
He did.
Wow. He loved it. Well, they do so many cool things with CGI now that you can't tell what's real and what's not. And I think some of the producers or directors were the same ones that did Maverick, the last movie.
Okay. Oh, wow. That was good.
So they used a lot of the technology that they were using on planes, except they did it in cars this time. So he was fascinated by how things are developing in that area. The rest of it, pretty predictable storyline, but it was worth going to. And I mean, for a movie that can bring a father and a son together that really don't see eye to eye entertainment wise on anything, it killed the 2 hours. So it was great.
That's good.
Yeah, that's great. I want to see it. So I'm happy it was good.
And then he spent 15 minutes telling me things in the movie that I didn't see, which was cool also. Like plot lines and different technical aspects. So it worked out great.
So y'all watched the same movie, but y'all never watched the same movie.
All the time.
Got it.
The Burt Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at spinquest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I'm going to give a content warning here because I'm going to be talking about cancer and also death from cancer because a really popular influencer from Utah, his name is Tanner Martin. He posted the most fascinating video posthumously on, and it's been going around because of just the insight he's been giving about death. So he's been battling stage 4 colon cancer since the fall of 2020, and him and his wife just welcomed a new child into the world literally 41 days before his passing. It's an absolutely tragic story.
It's a young guy too?
Yeah, he's like in his 30s, early 30s. It's really, really heartbreaking. So after he passed away, somebody was able to post on his behalf a video he had taken right before he had passed away about hopes he had for his audience and how they would hopefully carry, you know, some of the emotional weight that his wife and his now newborn were going to be facing and just keeping them in their prayers. But also, it's interesting to hear somebody who is faced with death talk about how they are feeling going into it, knowing that it's on the other side. So here's the video that he posted saying, basically, if you're watching this, I'm dead.
You guys, life was awesome. I really enjoyed it while I was here. Hopefully, I believe there's something after this, and I'm excited to meet those people, and hopefully we're hanging out now and making fun of all you nerds. I'm actually really excited to meet Shay's grandpa and to meet my dad's biological dad, to see my Uncle Josh again. I mean, there's just a lot of people that, for the afterlife, I'm excited to see them and excited to see them not in pain. And just happy. And death is scary, but it's also like a new adventure, you know? And I'm kind of excited for it a little bit. But not in like, you know, I want to kill myself or anything, but just I'm excited to see what the experience is like, and hopefully it's good. But I love you guys. And seriously, thanks again for all your support and helping to make the last years of my life here on Earth, like, fun and enjoyable and helping me be comfortable. I love you guys. Be kind to each other. Assume good intent in other people, and you guys will just have a happy life. And anyway, I love you. See ya.
Whew, I hope I can handle it with that kind of courage, man, because I'm terrified of it.
That is amazing perspective to have about death. I have chills. That was incredible.
I guess you really have to have faith that there's a heaven, and you really have to buy in at this point on exactly what you've been talking about for your entire life, because if you don't have that, at least for me, it's a pretty terrifying thought.
No, 100%. And when you're faced with death, and if you've ever had a sick family member, I remember when my mom's mom was sick and getting ready to pass away. It is probably the closest to God I've ever felt, because it makes it feel like heaven is real. It makes it feel like she is going somewhere, and it starts to feel like a real tangible place where you are going to meet your wife's grandfather or your dad's biological father. And it stops feeling like this mystical thing you're going to see in 50 years. And it's like, oh, this is a train that she's getting on, and she's going to maybe meet God in 10 minutes.
I want you guys to know, if I make a video like that for you guys, I want you to know that it is 100% BS, that I am terrified, that is a lie, and that is an act for me, because I don't think I'll have that attitude.
I don't think I have it in me either. Just to hear him use the word excited through me. Yeah. I remember when my Nana was like that, the same things Abby was mentioning. She was just at a point in her life when she lived her life, and she was ready, and I was too young to understand it. And she was just like, no, don't try to keep me here. I am ready to go. And yeah, I don't think I'm going that way.
Most of the old folks that I know that got to that point had so many aches and pains, and they were just like, done. Just like, take me away from all these internal, my wrists hurt, my knees hurt, my hips hurt, I can't see. Take me. I'm so ready.
I'm ready.
I think it's cool. It's like life's greatest mystery. You're going to know in 10 minutes, what for better or for worse, like whether it's just lights off or if you're about to come face to face with the creator of the universe. It's like that is a wild thing to wrap your mind around.
I can't even. It seems too surreal.
Okay.
Same for me.
I'll pivot then. The editor of Vogue, Anna Wintour, is stepping down after 37 years. I'm going to tell you who's rumored to take her spot on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Do you guys have any examples of TV shows that had such strong accents that you loved the show, but you had to have the subtitles on because you just couldn't understand the English they were speaking from their part of the world?
Oh my God, every episode of Peaky Blinders ever.
That is one of my favorite shows ever, and I can't even recommend it to people because of that reason.
No, I'm like, I don't know what they're saying. I know they're real mad about it because they're fighting, but I have no idea what words are coming out of their mouth.
One of my favorite shows ever.
Probably Money Heist for me. They had strong accents in Money Heist, but that was my show. I loved that show, so okay. I struggled through it.
I think the classic example is back in the day, The Osbournes. It was a reality TV show about Ozzy Osbourne and his family, and we used to come in here each week and play the game, like, what did Ozzy say? Because you just couldn't understand what he was saying. And now there's another show that people are watching, and it's entertaining. You just don't know what they're saying.
Hi, babes. Can I pull you for a chat real quick? I'm not a social media producer today. I'm a scaffolder from Burnley. Sorry. I don't know what that was.
That's how they talk on Love Island. Yeah. There's like this list of lingo that they all use. Like, we have great banter. You're my type on paper. And they always say it with that exact accent.
My favorite thing about Love Island UK is how they take like real words in the U.S., like, okay, I'm a construction worker. I'm a plumber. And they say, I'm a tradie. I'm a scaffolder. It just sounds so much better when they say it.
They're chewing on those vowels. Oh. A tradie.
So they've been doing this show in England way longer than we have in the United States, or yes. We just stole it from them, right?
They're on season 12 of Love Island UK. Okay. And that's been quite some time. Back in the day, the first season, they were letting them smoke cigarettes and drink constantly and just do all kinds of stuff you can't put on TV anymore.
The good old days.
Honestly, for real. So I am a seasoned watcher, and I have honed my craft to where I can watch an episode of Love Island UK without any subtitles.
So you love this show so much that you're watching the English version, which is in season 7, and you're watching the UK version as well.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Historically, the UK one has typically been better, but USA in recent years has like killed it.
USA has picked up a lot because I am a purist. I am a UK stan. Like, that's always going to be the gold standard for me. And I watch Australia. Australia is also really good.
All islands.
Yeah, right? She's going all over the world.
All over the place.
We're traveling there. She's just watching all these from all over the world saying she's a traveler.
Smarter. Cheaper.
So this season, the accents are even more incomprehensible than ever, because in the villa, we've got Ireland, we've got Scotland, we've got random places in England whose names sounds like the townsfolk descended from sheep. So I am bringing the banter back to the Burt Show with the Love Island UK translator game.
Can they understand each other on the show? Because sometimes those accents are so thick in different parts of the UK. Sometimes I think they can't even understand what they're saying.
It's really funny because that's a problem sometimes.
Is it?
They don't know what each other are saying, especially if they are like Scousers or from Scotland. They always are commenting on each other's accents. So I have a few clips of short quotes said by Islanders, and these are just from the first episode. The game is super simple. I'll have Tommy play a clip. And if you think you know what the Islander is saying, you will ring in with, I got a text.
I got a text. Okay.
I got a text.
That's what they say on the show.
It's true.
Okay. Just for informing the people.
Good job. Islanders, are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
All right. First clip.
There's certain words where you'll proper hear my accent.
I got a text.
Abby?
There are certain words where you proper hear my accent.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm warmed up now.
Okay.
Second
clip. Can I just say Bert, because I'm so consumed with that I have to bring in on that I'm not hearing the words?
You may.
Okay. Me too. I just want to be
both. That's fine. Okay, second clip.
Personality is really important.
Bert, last night was really important?
No, that's incorrect.
Okay.
That's what I thought it was.
Okay.
Country of origin.
Right?
Oh, God. He's like an Italian stallion that comes from, I think, like Northern England. So it's like a very big mishmash. But we can play it again.
Personality is really important.
Still sounds like last night was really important.
Somebody is really important. I can't make out their first part.
Past night? Last night?
Very close. It's the first word that's tripping you guys up.
Do it one more time.
Personality is really important.
Posh night?
Mo, past night is really important?
That's close.
What is it?
I'll give it to you. It's personality is really important.
Oh, no. I would have been here all summer.
Play that again.
Personality is really important.
Personality. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right. Third clip.
Are you happy I picked today?
Are you happy I picked today?
Close.
I got a text. I got a text. Uh-huh. Are you happy I picked you then?
That's it. Good job. Okay. This one is one of my favorites.
I think you two have got good banter.
Bert. I think you two have good banter.
I'll give it to you.
Okay. What is it?
Can we play it again?
I think you two have got good bant.
I think you two have got good bant. Bant.
Bant.
What's bant?
Short
bant?
For banter?
They've said banter so much that they've shortened it now.
Oh, that's that. Yeah.
To bant.
Okay. One syllable is enough.
Next one.
It's literally the first day.
Yeah. Sexually, none of that.
Sexually frustrated?
No.
I got a text. Uh-huh. It's actually the first day.
Very close. Play one more time.
It's literally the first day.
Yeah.
It's literally the first day.
Literally.
Literally.
Let me hear that again, because I don't know how I got sexually frustrated out of that.
It's literally the first day.
Yeah.
It's been a long week for you.
Yeah. Maybe this is autobiographical.
Projecting.
She's my Scottish queen. She is so hard to understand. Okay, next one.
I look like a bit of a geezer.
Oh, gosh. What?
One more. What do you want?
I look like a bit of a geezer.
Do it again.
Look, I look like a bit of a geezer.
So that's not English.
I put the keys up?
No.
One more time.
Look, I look like a bit of a geezer.
Geezer?
Geezer is correct.
Okay.
Oh, I got a text.
Uh-huh.
All right, he's a bit of a geezer.
I reckon I look like a bit of a geezer.
Nope.
I look like a bit of a geezer.
Whoa. Yeah, nah. That's tough.
All right, next one.
What are your sheets like?
I got a text. Uh-huh. What are your sheets like?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That's good. I'm experienced with the British.
You are. Next one.
When I'm like family do's and that.
Okay. Hey, do it again.
When I'm like family do's and that.
I pulled a lot from this guy.
What the heck?
When I'm like family do's and that.
I got a text.
Uh-huh.
I don't like my family doing that.
No.
I got that again.
When I'm like family do's and that.
Family do's
in that?
That is correct. That's what he's saying.
One more time.
When I'm like family do's and that.
Mm-mm. What I might like family do's and that? That's what I heard.
When I'm at like family do's and that.
Like family do's?
What's he's saying do? Like when I'm at like a family party, like a reunion.
Is it do?
Like it's a do.
Okay.
They say like hen do's. That's what a bachelorette party is called.
I know, I still don't get it.
Yeah. When I'm like family do's and that.
No, he didn't say that.
Yeah.
He absolutely didn't.
All right, Tommy, let's play the last one.
Looking for a bit of crack.
Oh, I got a text. You looking for a bit of crack?
Looking for a bit of crack.
Looking for a little bit of crack?
Uh-huh.
Just a little bit.
Crack is like what?
It's how the Irish say banter, like chat and fun. Yeah.
When we were in Ireland, she got me socks that say, what's the crack or something like
what's
that?
What's the crack?
Yeah.
So I've got a trip planned to Scotland in August, and if they speak like that, it is going to be a very silent vacation.
Good luck.
The Bert Show.
This is one of those days I am very happy to have a public-facing job. Because this might be the most important personal story I ever do.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure a guy who sat next to me at the bar a couple days ago is plotting my murder. And I need to tell somebody. What? So you can put this in the news story when it happens.
I'm not victim shaming here at all. All I'm saying is we got two stories this week. One of a girl that wanted to knock you out at the AT&T store. And now we've got one of a guy that wants to murder you.
Suddenly I'm the problem. Oh yeah, I feel like the common theme with all my stories this week is I just need to stop being hot, because then I got dragged into that photo shoot for being hot.
It's tough, man.
And they're not going to put me in.
Yeah.
They just wanted to use me for all my public facing content and chatter.
Just for the record, I think you stopped that a while ago.
Being hot? not soon enough, apparently.
You don't have to worry about being murdered for humility.
Right.
I need to be uglier so people leave me alone. Anyway,
dumb it down a little bit.
So I was sitting at a bar a couple of days ago. My apartment complex was having like this meet and mingle where they were like, hey, there's a restaurant down the street from us and we have a bar tab. Like the first 15 people that show up, we're going to give you an Aperol Spritz. And every white girl within like 15 miles was was like, I'm going to be there right on time. So I show up, I get my bar seat, I show up alone because again, this isn't a mixer specifically for your apartment. So I'm like, I don't really have any friends in the building. So I'm just going to go have a little drinky drink by myself. So I pop a squat at the bar, and to my pleasant surprise, two gentlemen walked in a couple of minutes later. And honestly, I was like, these are some cute guys. They live in my apartment complex. How did I not know this? Like, this is so great. So they end up sitting next to me. And of course, we start making some small talk. And I would like to read you the list of questions they asked me within about 5 minutes of sitting down and getting their first beverage.
Okay.
Right. Because this can either go in the they're going to murder me category, or this man is genuinely interested in me and is trying to track me down so he can take me out on a date.
Thin line.
There's a one guy or two guys?
There are two guys, but one guy is specifically asking the questions.
Is there one on your left and one on your right, or are they both on one side?
They're both on one side. They're both to my right.
Okay.
So they're sitting down and they start asking me this list of questions. Here's what they ask. They said, do you live at insert apartment complex? Which I didn't think too much of because this is a apartment complex mixer. And I go, yeah, I live here. Mm-hmm. And they go, do you live alone?
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's and a flag. Red flag.
And then I'm like, well, I'm sitting here alone, so okay, maybe that's not too weird. And then they go, oh, well, what floor do you live on?
All right.
Yeah, it's too much.
And then I'm sitting there, I'm like, do I answer this question? Because I don't want to make it weird. I'm like, well, you know, I live on one of the higher floors. I have a pretty good view. And they're like, oh, well, where does your apartment face?
Yeah, no.
Are you kidding me? No, it's way too much.
Dead. Seriously. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, it faces the trees because there's trees everywhere. I'm like, yeah, you know, I have a good view of a nice tree and some other buildings. And then they're like, then the conversation keeps going and we start talking about the parking garage. And they're like, oh, yeah, we can never find spots. What floor do you park your car on?
At some point, you got to insert even a joke to break this up just to go, like, what are you guys trying to do? Like, plot my murder?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have said.
That's what I started saying. I'm like, you stalking me? And then I felt bad because then he kind of like took offense to it. And he was a cute dude. So I'm kind of like, I don't want him to think. And I'm like, no, wait, no, stop. Don't take offense to it.
Was there other questions in between these questions? Like, how's your day going? Like, what's your name? Like, the normal questions?
It was kind of sewn in there. I mean, to where this was like within the first 5 minutes of us chatting. And so those are all kind of being weaved in there, but I'm not done yet. So what floor do you park your car on? What does your apartment face? And then I started talking about, because there's a park near our apartment. So I was like, oh yeah. I was thinking about like fostering some dogs and like going for walks out at XYZ Park because I love going out for park or for walks there. And he goes, oh, what time do you go out for walks?
Oh, no.
I'm like, are you trying to like stalk me? And so then he follows me. I left the bar, and then he followed me on Instagram later. I'm like, should I follow him back so I can keep tabs on this man, or do I show that I have zero interest in this whatsoever? Because now I'm actually positive he's going to track me down and break into my apartment.
They say keep the enemies close.
I do like about halfway through that you said, I didn't want to offend him because he was cute. Like, if he's ugly, then all bets are off.
Now I understand why all those girls fell victim to Ted Bundy.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Abby, during the breaks, you've been sneezing a lot, and you blamed it on breathing in your perfume. I think that might be leftover chloroform.
And then I joked, I was like, it's a good thing I didn't let you buy me a drink because I'm pretty sure you were going to drug it.
Absolutely.
The Burt Show.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, 1-855-BIRCHO. I don't normally ask you guys to call in for advice this early, but I'm going to try it today because we've got a Birchow listener that is very concerned about her son going and spending so much money on tuition the very first year. So what I would really like is those of you that went to college, and you're probably still paying off that college debt, how much did you pay in debt? And looking back at it, are you happy you did it? Has it really helped you the way that your $130,000 thought that you would? 1-855-BIRCHO. Dear Bert, P1 here. Our son graduated high school this year and unfortunately missed qualifying for the Hope Scholarship by tenths of a point and is looking at financing his freshman year. That is frustrating because that is a game changer, that Hope Scholarship. We are not financially in a place to help him out any more than we are currently doing, which is paying for living expenses like clothes and phones and groceries, gym, most of his car note and his car insurance. She says, not as much as yours, but still not cheap because he's a boy and he's already had an accident.
Oof.
He's looking at going into over $20,000 of debt for his freshman year in order to go away to school. The alternative is to live at home and commute to a college that is closer, get his grades up, then transfer. He'd still be looking at some debt, but only $2,000 to $3,000. We have parameters over what is okay and not at our house and reasonable curfew hours, you know, since we work. He has very few chores, and we've been working towards guiding him in decisions rather than demanding he do what we say for the last year. Birchow, please help in getting some perspective on this topic, especially since I know you are close to this subject matter with Hayden having just graduated from SCAD and Hollis going to UNG in the fall. We're really worried about him going into too much debt his first year and there's another option. Thanks, your loyal P1. P.S. Happy birthday, KK. She's not here today. To answer a few questions before you guys start calling, if you're going to call, 1-855-BIRCHOW. He says he wants to get the full college experience. He's worried about missing out on getting to know people and sticking with them through college. He's planning on one of the largest enrollment schools in the state. His girlfriend's going to go to a different college, so that's not a factor. All right, so if you guys were looking back at your life and the money that you spent on college, and maybe you're still paying that off, man. That's got to be frustrating. 1-855-BIRCHOW.
Well, it's tough because I think it just depends on what he wants to do post-grad, because I know people, because I went to UF, that's a big, big medical school. A lot of people will spend like upwards to $300,000, $400,000 on that education, but the difference is they know they can pay that off because their salary is going to be, you know, $250,000 in about 5 years. I'd say like, if your profession is the kind that's not going to pay you upwards of six figures and you're going to go six figures into debt, there's no college experience that is worth the handcuffs that's going to keep you, that you're going to have, you're going to feel shackled to for the rest of your life. But I also went to a big state school like UF. For me, like that was a priceless experience, but I also had like the glorious benefit of my parents being able to assist me with paying for it. So I think you really have to take a look at your finances and what it's going to look like for the next 10 mm-hmm. years and not just what the experience is going to be for the next 4 years.
I had a similar experience. I paid off the majority of my debt myself. I'm still paying off some of it. Yeah. And people always ask me, was it worth it? And it's like a yes and no, because was it worth it as far as what I'm doing? Did I need it? Not necessarily, but did I pay for the experience? Yes. And for me, I felt exactly like he felt, and I just wanted to get that full college experience. It made a lot more sense for me to stay home money-wise and just convenience-wise, but I wanted to see what college was all about. I wanted to be away from my parents. I remember that feeling of really wanting to get out the house at that age and be to myself and be by myself, and I've made lifelong friends. I had lifelong memories. So looking back on it, as much as I'm like, I wonder how it would have panned out for me if I didn't go, I don't regret it, and I feel like it was worth it to get that college experience in the end.
Good morning, Stuart. You're part of the Birchow. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. As I told your, I guess, gentleman handling the calls, I'm a veterinarian in Atlanta. I talk to moms every day, and they're spending $80,000 a year, $100,000 a year to go to Stanford and Emory to get a history degree, to get an art degree. It's not worth it. My experience is that if you're going to spend that kind of money, that's for graduate school and professional school, law school, medical school, dental school. As far as I know, the World War II facts, my friend, are the same at Georgia State as they are at Emory. Why are you spending $100,000 to get a bachelor's degree in history?
There you go.
That makes sense.
All right. Really appreciate you calling very much.
That makes sense.
And here is Carrie. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. Hi, guys. I'm a P1 here.
Thank you. Appreciate the loyalty.
Yes. I went to school for respiratory therapy, and I only have my associate's degree. However, it was worth it. I will say, if you're going to go into debt and spend that kind of money, make sure it's in, like, STEM. Otherwise, go to a community college, get something that's, like, you know, heating and AC, that kind of stuff like that, because the ROI on it is not really worth it anymore.
How much debt did you say you're in?
It topped out around about 50-60.
Okay. It feels to me like I kind of parent the same way that this emailer does also. All you can do is advise them at this point. You know, that's it. You can give them the pros and the cons, but God, there comes a point when you're parenting that you just really got to give up control. They're turning into little adults. You can guide them, and then you're out.
Mm-hmm. I would just be worried about him living the rest of his life wondering what it would have been like to get that college.
Yeah, experience. Right. All right, it's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I'm so nervous to verbalize what I just said in studio that I had to actually check with our sales department to see if we're going to lose a ton of money if I give my opinion on that.
Oh, I thought you were about to say God was going to smite you on the spot.
No. God and I are tight.
Okay.
He knows. He's giving me free will.
I don't know. His opinion or your opinion of what you're about to say might sway him a little bit.
I'm going to hold off on that until I get the email back saying this is going to cost us $250,000.
Oh, okay.
But here's what I would like to know. Are you guys sitting on like a controversial theory that you don't really share with people very much?
Oh.
A ton of them.
Do you? Okay, let's go through
these. I feel like you're sitting on a mountain. I got to think about this.
Okay, let me give you an example. 1-855-VIRT-SHOW if you want to have some fun with us this morning. I heard somebody the other day say, if you haven't left your hometown by 30, you never will. So you might go visit, but if you haven't left your hometown by 30, you will never move out of your hometown.
That's interesting. I can't speak for places outside of New York, but when I think of all of my family and friends that live in New York City that didn't leave before 30, they did not leave at all. They're still there.
Ooh.
Every single one.
Yeah, because I started thinking the same thing. And I'm like, oh, that's ridiculous. I've got, I don't know anybody either.
Yeah.
I think that might be a generalization that matter or it applies to a lot of people, but I feel like it's never too late to change your life. It's never too late to move. It's never too late to try a new career. So I would like to think that that is not true.
You would like to think it, but do you know anybody that older than 30 years old moved out of their hometown?
I don't know a lot of people older than 30.
You're 27, Abby.
28. I can't. I mean, there's a lot of people that stuck around in Jax because Jax is kind of a small, big town. I don't know. I think it's too early to tell.
What's your other controversial theory that you have? A couple others.
Oh, no, I ain't saying them here.
Come on.
Nah,
give us
no,
one.
You.
Give us one.
I would have to think about it. Because the ones that come to the top of my mind, I would get crushed for. I'm not saying them. Nope.
Come really? On. Just Mom. One. Just one.
Nope.
I'll Venmo you $10 right now.
$10? Abby, what? You want me to go through a...
We got a Chick-fil-A. I'll buy you Chick-fil-A.
I got to think. Y'all caught me on the spot. I really got to think of something. But every day I hear something come up where I'm like, yeah, that's not true, but I'm not going to fight it.
Oh.
That was all I got.
That's it. Okay.
That wasn't good.
Well, you said I got a ton of these.
I do, but I'm not that I'm going to say. I'm just not accepting that part.
I think that's why people aren't calling. Also, they're too afraid to actually say, like, I'm going to get so much heat for this. My son has one. He'd get fried. He thinks Pepsi is better than Coke.
What?
Oh, we going superficial. Oh, okay.
You can't say that in this area, Coke.
Yeah. And now we're doing the show out of Atlanta where Coke is right down the street.
Isn't it?
But when we go to New York City,
I mean,
where Pepsi is kind of more popular than Coke is, he gets excited because he thinks Pepsi is better than Coke.
Okay. Well, where I'm from in North Carolina, Pepsi was born in North Carolina. And Pepsi is the preferred choice there. My uncle would have killed somebody for a Pepsi.
Mo was kind of shaking his head too, because you grew up in New York.
I'm a New Yorker, man. I was told when I first got here to never say this out loud, but I've always felt like Pepsi is better than Coke.
That's always. Crazy word.
Always.
Coke is like Americana. Pepsi is like the version of it. It's like the uglier younger sister.
Nah, I feel all the way. It's the opposite.
I would say if you're living in this area, if you believed like American Airlines is so much better than Delta, nobody would ever say. I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
Delta's my home.
Yeah, I love Delta.
But, I mean, nobody would ever say it down here.
It's funny because I remember, I never understood the hype around Delta until I moved here. But that's because y'all get all the nice planes. When you fly out of any other, like, airport, you get, like, the crappy Delta plane. So now, I never understood the Delta hype. Now I get it.
I do want to agree with you on something you said a couple of weeks ago that I didn't realize at the time, only because I was flying through. You are right. LaGuardia is one of the best airports in the country.
That is
now.
Yeah. Today, as of 2025, LGA is the greatest airport in the country.
Now, as an ambassador for our airport, I disagree with you. Atlanta is number one by far.
Uh-huh.
But LaGuardia, that place has got it going on now. Because it used to be crap.
Oh, my God. If somebody hasn't seen LaGuardia in the last, like, 5 to 10 years, they probably think y'all sound insane right now. But it got three times better.
It is very solid.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So it is a man-heavy show today because KK and Cassie are both out, so it's just me. And so when it comes to e-buzz, I was trying to think of some things that I think would spark discussion amongst you all. But there was some big, big news that hit the papers yesterday. And by papers, I mean Instagram feeds. And I'm trying to put this in terms that I think will appeal to both Mo and Bert in the studio.
Okay.
Because the editor of Vogue, Anna Wintour, is stepping down from Vogue after 37 years. I mean, this feels like a queen is stepping down from her kingdom.
All I saw was the headline. It didn't really connect with me that she's been doing the same thing for 37 years. And I was like, oh, good for her.
It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. She's retiring after 37 years. She made the Met Gala what it is today. You guys have heard us talk about what a big deal the Met Gala is in terms of fashion and A-listers. I mean, this is a cultural icon who is now giving the reins to somebody else in a time where I feel like print is sort of becoming irrelevant. So whoever is going to take her place has a huge weight on their shoulders and massive stilettos to fill. So in order to help bring some appeal to this, I'm going to tell y'all who is currently being considered allegedly to take her place. But in order to make this, I think, a little bit better for you guys, big mm-hmm. sports fans, we're going to run it through like it's the NBA draft. All right, so here is the front runner for Anna Wintour's Vogue editor-in-chief spot. This is the number one candidate so far, allegedly, according to the internet.
Are we even going to know these names?
Nope, you're not going to. But right. I'm going to tell you who they are.
Got it.
Our number one draft pick is somebody named Shioma Nadi. She is the head of editorial content for British Vogue. She was the first woman of color in a senior Vogue editorial role. She's been praised for revitalizing British Vogue's digital voice and fostering a strong audience engagement. Industry leaders say she is, quote, beloved with an impeccable reputation and possesses both Vogue pedigree and leadership chops.
Okay. That's a strong first pick.
Are the sound effects making it better?
Yeah. You got me on the sound effects because those are the sound effects they use for the real draft, but I don't know the names.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. This would be what, the second round draft pick, like the second tier?
Second pick of the first round.
It's a woman named Amy Astley. She is the editor-in-chief and global editorial director at Architectural Digest, which got me excited because I love those Architectural Digest videos where they go through people's houses.
Yeah,
you seen those on YouTube?
I have, actually.
And she's also the founding editor of Teen Vogue. She was handpicked by Anna Wintour in 2002 to launch Teen Vogue and has been praised for her savvy in both print and digital formats.
Sticking with sports here, isn't Teen Vogue kind of the minor leagues for Vogue? So
it's kind of like she's being pulled up from the triple A's, double A's.
She's been called up.
Okay, so y'all are getting it. You're getting it.
All right.
And the third draft pick in the first round, I think I'm getting this right, is a woman named Kate Betts. She's a former Vogue news director and now a contributor at Time, Style, and Design. She stands out because even though she's outside of the current Vogue operation, she's known for her journalism-first approach and has had historical consideration for leadership since the 90s. So these are your champions. Can I get the theme again?
There it is.
This is who can take Anna Wintour's spot.
Okay, I got it. All right.
But very exciting, and I think this is a really pivotal moment, not just for Vogue, but also for the direction of where print is going to go in general, because if Anna Wintour's been carrying this for 37 years, and I feel like she's been a big part of why Vogue has been relevant for so long, so this is a big decision.
I can't think of the last time I actually picked up a magazine and read it unless I was in the airport and I was going somewhere and I pick up like a Men's Health or something like that. So people are actually buying Vogue or they're just reading it online?
I think a lot of people are reading it online, following the social platforms, but I do think there are some like diehard fashionistas that love it, like girls who grew up with Sex and the City who love to have something physical in their hands to flip through. But I think to your point, like, it's 2025 and people are getting away from print. Like, Gen Alpha and Gen Z are not going to be purchasing magazines because that's not how they grew up. Whereas I think some people get it for the nostalgia factor. So seeing the direction that this next editor is going to take Vogue is going to be a big, big deal.
I think for collectors in like big cities, it's still a thing to go get the magazine from the guy with the newspaper, before you get on a train, like that type of thing.
And when I was in New York City, you see people over the age of 70 years old that still are reading newspapers and they want the ink on their hands and stuff like that.
I love it for like a coffee table as like a decor, but you know what I love about magazines that I'll be so sad about when it eventually like dies out, because that'll happen probably in my lifetime, is like when you get those perfume samples. Like, I used to love like cracking them open getting my wrist on it. Like, I used to do that all the time when I was a kid. All right, a former Ravens star is benched, not for a bad play, but for shocking allegations from multiple massage therapists. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.